For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Let's go. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 219 of MSRcast, your heavy metal podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek, along with
Sean the Metal Pigeon.
What's up, man?
Not much. Why the metal?
So we started this episode with something that we should have ended last episode with.
Yeah, that's right.
But somebody forgot to put it in the episode. I don't know who that would be.
Thanks, Justin.
He's not here to defend himself, so.
Yeah. In a way, though, it kind of worked out perfectly because when he introduced, at least to me, he introduced me to that band. And I didn't know about them then.
Yeah.
So I got to listen to it in the interim, and I've been listening to the album nonstop pretty much. So now we get to talk about it in a more informed way. So it kind of worked out for the best, even though it really probably was an awkward end that episode.
Right. Yeah, it was an awkward end. Oh, hey, we're going to play this song, and it didn't happen. I apologize for that. It was the gremlins in the system were messing with me.
Yep.
So, but we played it this time. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I just can't get enough of this album. There's a band that's new to me. I never heard of them. They're from Germany, I think, even though they sound like they could be from Finland.
Right.
They're, they do like, I was reading stuff about them earlier, and apparently, like, they're, this is their sixth album. It's called The Sixth Band, Thormesis. And their first five albums, I'm told, were like a lot of pagan black metal type stuff. Kind of like Moon Sorrow-ish, but not as good.
Uh-huh.
And then everything kind of changed with this record. Like, in the promo photo for the band, they dropped the corpse paint. They've kind of incorporated some post-rock production stuff in here. Mm-hmm. They still kept the pagan Viking chanty element to it, which I love. But the entire thing is just kind of draped with this kind of cloth of melody that really shapes the direction of these songs. And they have these kind of hard rock elements in there that keep everything structured in a very head-nodding kind of way, where it's not just a wall of sound.
Way.
Yeah, it's not like just barreling at you. There's structure to it,
I mean, there's fast black metal blast beating and stuff like that, but I definitely see where you're coming from. It has a different production style than you're used to.
Like in the song we heard, there's those little tail ends of those riffs, that da-na-da-da-na. That's not like a typical black metal thing.
Wait a minute. How is it again?
it sounds like? It sounds like it's like they're borrowing something from like thrash.
Yeah.
And popping it in there just to kind of give their riff, give the listener a break, and then give the riff some extra power by like relaunching it.
Yeah.
And I like that. It's not just, pummeling you, your eardrums. It's giving you a sense of getting, it's a head, I call it head nodding. It's a head nodding element. So, and then this album is just full of it. And the surprises across this thing. I wrote a review for it today. By the time this podcast goes up, all these reviews will be up at the Metal Pigeon.
I was about to ask you where at.
But this is really one of the best albums that's been released this year, I think. And it just kind of caught me off guard. And so props to Justin for bringing it to my attention.
Of course, we're talking about our buddy Justin from the what's the name of his show?
The Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast.
The Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast. He's been a big supporter of ours and been on the show and Metal Geeks many, many, many times.
Yeah, he's
honestly, find him on Twitter. It's at ComicalJC, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been a big source of like a lot of stuff I've been listening to this past like 6 months. Like that band he introduced on the podcast last year, Shomagognar, the one we had trouble pronouncing. I've been loving that.
Shomagognar.
That band, their past two albums. I've been loving those records for the past couple weeks. Like sneakily listening to them on the side when I'm supposed to be listening to newer music. So,
I ain't going
to
tell nobody. It's
Justin's
all right.
Invaluable right now to my metal tastes.
Just don't tell him that.
Yeah, he won't listen to this.
No, he will. So something that's been invaluable, a brand new album for me at least, is Devin Townsend.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a very difficult conversation to have.
Oh, I did not expect that.
What? Well, you don't know what I'm going to say.
Okay. All right. I'm interested. You talk first.
So Impasse is the brand new album. There's I think both versions of the album, the CD at least, are double disc. Second CD has a bunch of demo stuff. When usually some of his demo stuff is just as good, are better than the album stuff. Not so much this time.
Huh.
It's okay. I've been digesting this album for weeks, or at least trying to digest this album, and I'm still sort of on the fence about it. I like it, but I don't like it.
Okay. So I'm going to interject here just to ask you a question.
Okay.
Because I think you need to explain yourself. Are you saying you like it when deep down inside you really don't like it, but you're
afraid to say you don't like it? There's this element I don't like about the album.
Okay.
There's a song on there. It's just, it goes into like this weird, way too poppy for Devin. I like a lot of the songs on there. I mean, he's got a great, it's a great concept. It's a great, this like Genesis is an amazing song. It's already, you know, a classic track in his repertoire. But I mean, it's just weird things about the album.
See this, cause this is really the first time in our history doing the show where there's been a Devin album that I've been in on like right away and really gave my full attention to. So I'm a bit lost because like when people are saying – because I've read some things that people have said online about how this is really encompassing everything he's ever done.
It definitely does.
And in my view, from what I know about the guy, he's a pretty weird guy already. So every time I've heard something of his in the past, it sounded different from the last thing I heard. So to me, when I listen to this album, I'm just like, well, this is just kind of par for course for this guy, right?
It is. You're right. I mean, every single project album that he's ever worked on, it definitely has his own style, but there's always been – it has his own sensibility, let me say that.
Yeah.
But different styles. I think the stuff that – album after album, Strapping Young Lad, even those albums – don't sound exactly the same.
Yeah.
Devin Townsend Project might be the ones that sound closer to each other, but then again, not. So this album, it does definitely run the gamut. It goes from fucking the heaviest he's ever been to the poppiest he's ever been and everywhere in between.
Right.
It's just a meaty album. I don't want to say meaty. It's not just a sit in the car, listen to while you're driving album. It's really, you got to pay attention to it.
Right.
Get soaked into what he's trying to do. I fucking love Devin Townsend. He's a brilliant man. Maybe a little off, but if you haven't read his autobiography, it's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
Really, really good read. It's definitely worthwhile. It's like, it came out through mail order on some English, I don't even know where to really get it. It's called Never There, I believe is the name of it.
Huh.
It's really good.
I heard him on the Josta podcast. That was a really interesting episode. These very interesting topics that they're discussing. So let me ask you this about the album, though.
Okay.
On the spectrum of his discography,
does
this make the top 10?
No, not yet.
Okay. Wow, that's interesting.
Maybe close.
What do you think of Spirits Will Collide?
That's the second, the second song on it.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of that song.
Okay.
Okay.
Because that is the pop. I would say that's like
it's
the
poppy, obvious pop. But it feels very plain.
Yeah.
It's not. Genesis is awesome. I got to pull up the track list real quick.
See, I think I felt the other way. I was kind of like ho-hum about Genesis.
Really?
Where I was like, okay, maybe it's because I heard it too much, but Spirits Will Collide, I'm like, I thought that was a pretty affecting song. My problem with Spirits Will Collide is that I think it was held back by the fact that he did use harsh vocals, and I think it should have just swung for the fences and made it a power ballad, and it would have been more
– Well
– It would have been really hard for a lot of people to take.
Yeah.
But because it's already hard for people to take, I think you might as well just go whole hog and make it a power ballad.
The song after that, Evermore, I like that song a lot. Hear Me, fucking phenomenal song. Samus, the every he just goes fucking hard on those drums. Yeah,
the drums are amazing on that.
He's done a Samus on his a YouTube channel put a playthrough of that.
I saw that. Yeah.
Holy crap. That guy is phenomenal.
That's an interesting video.
Yeah.
That's actually the song with Chad from Nickelback doing the vocals on those little verse fragments in the beginning and the end.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, you can hear him and Devin kind of harmonizing a little bit. It's hard to pick them up because they actually do kind of sound eerily similar in their tones, but you can hear him back there. It's odd that he's on the heaviest song on track on the record, you know?
Well, yeah. Yeah. At least he's not trying death metal vocals or something.
Right. Yeah.
That'd be a little weird.
Yeah.
But I mean, all the, you know, Onik is back on this album in parts. Shay from Casualties of Cool is on this album in parts.
Yeah. Anika's bit, she's on the big 23 minute long song at the end.
She's on another part too.
That Singularity. Bit, that chunk that she's on at the very end, like the fifth suite of the Singularity, I really like that entire section. I even like the first section of that song a lot, like the very mellow intro, and Devin has very emotive vocals and stuff. And my favorite song was Why.
Why?
Because, I mean, it's such an I don't know if it's unexpected or not, but for me, when I heard it, I'm just like, I didn't know this guy could sing that well. I've heard the record with Steve Vai. Like, I know he's a good singer.
Yeah.
I just didn't know he could do that kind of grand theatrical, almost, you know, like a tenor. It sounds like somebody could be on a Sarah Brightman.
I have a feeling
record.
This is the song that I don't enjoy.
It's like very Broadway-ish, and it could be like a soundtrack to a Disney thing, like bunnies hopping around and stuff like that.
This is the song where they do some auto-tuning on his vocals.
Okay, I guess I could see that.
That sort of turned me off. Like, I'm like, oh, God.
I don't know. It does seem like his voice has the ability to go in that direction, so.
But on the second CD, the demo, I like The Waiting Kind. That song is actually pretty fun.
See, I haven't heard any of that stuff.
Okay.
I mean, I was listening to it on Spotify, so. Demo is on the physical release, right? Because you had the vinyl you ordered or something?
I don't have the vinyl. I have this. I thought I was getting the deluxe digipack? Version, but the digipack, but it's just two CDs in a normal, boring
CD jewel case. Jeez.
Yeah, I know. I want that deluxe package, but I probably will pre-order the vinyl.
Yeah.
Just because... I just want to. It's hard to get the older albums on vinyl.
It looked like from the unboxing video that the actual CD digipack was the best looking.
It was awesome looking
package. Yeah,
not the one that I got.
Right,
I ordered it from Amazon. So
the normie version.
I was assuming that it was like the special version because it came with two CDs. I didn't know the regular one came with dual discs. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna order this one.
Right. Yeah.
Did not get what I wanted.
No,
but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I really enjoyed myself listening to this album, like, just because it was such a challenge to listen to, and I kind of appreciated that, you know? Because I when I first played, I swear to God, I didn't know what I was listening to, and it just took me a while. I remember my first initial thought, I was listening to it, and my first thought was, loud. Everything is loud, and I need to either turn the volume down to hear the songs... And I did that, actually. She turned the volume down, and I was like listening to it. I'm like, okay, I get what he's trying to do here. And
mastered too loud?
No, I don't think that was the problem. I think it was just because I was listening to it. The first time you listen to this album, it's overwhelming. And I was like listening to it on headphones because I thought, like, that's what I need to do. And it was just too much at that moment. It was like, to process this better, I'm going to take some time, some distance from it. Actual physical distance and move away from the speakers. So, I actually had fun listening to this album. I don't, you know, the 23 minute long song, it didn't work for Nightwish, you know, when they did End of Swarm's Most Beautiful with The Greatest Show on Earth, that 24 minute long monstrosity of a song at the end. I love that album. I hate that song. Well, hate is a strong word. I just don't think it worked. With this album, I think a lot of this album really works. I think that last song has two big parts that really work. And in the middle, there's a lot. It gets really aggressive and stuff. And it's just sort of like formless. And I'm like, okay, I can skip all that. I just want to hear that first bit and then the Anika bit. And if they merge those two bits together, this would be an amazing song. And then, you know, there's like the 11-minute long song in there too.
Borderlands.
Which I wasn't thrilled about because it was just a little too...
based on the hit video game Borderlands.
Was it?
No. I don't think so.
The song Sprite I love, however, yeah. because I've been listening to a lot of like trance EDM type stuff lately.
That might be the song I'm thinking of.
And that was I kind of like how it reminded me of that. I was like, oh, my mind is ready for a song like this.
Okay,
right now.
That's the track that I'm not a big fan of. Okay. It sort of really turned me off.
Yeah,
the auto tuning and stuff in there. Yeah,
yeah. Well, it has that also stutter effect on his vocal. Yeah, and that's like a thing that
there's a weird syncopation with his vocal style on that song.
That stutter effect is actually a thing that was created in trance music with an audio plugin. And I've been listening to this guy named BT Brian Transow, who's a pioneering trance artist. He actually created the plugin that created that stuttering thing by like. It's like a program that like splices up the audio and like separates it by certain anyway. Mm. And I thought it was interesting that he used it on here. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. It kind of gives it that sort of electronic music flavor. And I guess I'm just in the right headspace. I can see how someone else would listen to that and just be completely annoyed.
Like me.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't hate this album. Let me be straight up with that. It's probably about a 70-30 for me. 70% love, 30% I could live without.
Yeah. Well.
But, you know, that could change. I think some of my favorite albums of all time are stuff that I don't love right away. It sort of not grows on you, but you start to get enveloped by it and you learn
right.
as you listen to it further and further.
What did you think of the theme? Like, because he's talked a lot about this in interviews and stuff, the theme about anti-suicide, like, is pretty much the predominant theme throughout the album. Like, I mean, and I'm asking, like, we all think it's great. That's a positive message. It's something that is, good. You're putting that out there. Do you think it came across well?
I don't know if it comes across as well as he would hope it does. I didn't know that until I heard interviews with him about it. But, and anyway, it's about life and it's about loving and living. And I mean, I can definitely, you definitely get that on the album. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, I could hear that he's like, he has all the, cause in the interviews, he's talking about all these changes that he's gone through. And I can hear how, when I listen to the music, especially like a song like Spiritual Quiet, I can get why he's trying to stretch out and kind of make this music that is this basic grand gesture. And, you know, Spirits Will Collide, I think the music video is actually more effective than the song itself.
I
will say I did see a cover version of this song on YouTube already. Yeah, it's by this – I forgot the guy's name, but he did an acoustic cover of it.
Okay.
And he made it into a ballad, like just an acoustic ballad with like piano and an acoustic guitar. And it was amazing. I actually like it better than the Devin version, which is why, I was like seeking it out. I was like, did someone cover this already? And when I found that one, I was like so impressed with it. I just thought, yep, I think that the harsh vocals in the song kind of detract from it. And it's like a weird distraction in some way.
Let's get into why. We'll talk about it. We have a couple songs to play in the set. And we have some concert reviews to talk about, don't we?
Yes.
All right. So let's get into new Devin Townsend. We'll be right back.
Why?
Welcome back to MSR Cast 219, and from the forests of Switzerland, I guess, hanging out with Deathwalkers.
Yep.
And Elevati, jumping around a campfire in the middle of the forest. My appreciation for Elevati has gone up in the past, like,
mine too.
2 years, I think. Ever since they came back out with the acoustic album with the new singer. They have not only, I think, kind of changed the narrative, I think, on this whole split that happened between them and the guy, the girl and the two guys from and who are in Cellar Darling now.
Right.
Who incidentally just had a new album come out last week, too. These two bands can't seem to get away from each other in terms of releasing things at the same time. But I think that like this is a better band now in the last two albums. I loved Avocation 2, that acoustic album that came out in 2017. I really, really am enjoying this new album.
I'm liking what I've heard so far.
There's so much good stuff on it. They kind of even carried over some of the acoustic stuff into these three instrumentals they have across the album. It's a 16-track album, but it's really 13 songs. But it's such – there's 13 pretty good songs. And even when it's just like Melodeath and it's just what's the guy's name? Changrel, the weed guy? I think that's his name. I'm saying it right. Even when it's just him, it's just like, oh, it's pretty good Melodeath. Like, it's not bad. Like, there's good riffs and there's, like, you know, complicated progressions. And it's not just kind of – the sort of simplification that a lot of bands do when they just dabble in Melodeath. Like, this band is like a real merger of Melodeath and folk metal. And the new vocalist, you know, two albums in, she's still new, I think. Fabienne Ernie. I think she's amazing. I'm a real fan of her vocal for this band. She has a brighter tone than Anna Murphy did, who was, you know, had a more kind of darker, lower kind of mid-tone range, you know, and she can get really low and Sour Darling too. And I just think that I think that Fabienne's voice works a lot better for the band. I think it's more of a contrast between her and the lead and the harsh vocals. And I think her the vibe, like the tone of her voice, also is more, it just suits kind of this, that folk element that they're going for better. There's more of a contrast there, and it's just, I don't know, I think they're a better band. And I think that's like that's one of those things when the split happened between Anna Murphy and these guys, I think a lot of people took her side, because you kind of take the side of the people who are getting kicked out.
Sure.
You know, you assume the worst about this band. But now when I listen to that new Sour Darling record, which is just so unfortunate.
Really?
So bad.
I liked the first one.
I sort of liked the first one. I mean, I would say I was just a shade above kind of going, oh, it's okay. It's really interesting to see just how out of ideas they are. And I'm writing a review on it right now, and I'm struggling to not be too mean about it.
Sure.
But it's freaking bad, man. And it's just like, when I think about what happened, like the statements they released at the time when these two parties split up, Ilvedi said, look, those guys, the reason why they're being kicked out of the band is they want to go in a direction that we don't want to go in. And when you see what they're doing now, when they're just really doubling down on the folk metal aspect of their sound and what Sour Darling is doing, which is just kind of boring modern rock type stuff. It's like, yeah, okay, you guys made the right decision. I'm on team Ilvedi here, because like, you guys have delivered two really strong records back to back.
And they just announced a tour today.
That's true.
Ilvedi with Korpiklaani.
Which I'm more eager to go to now, you know, in light of this record. So
yeah, they're going to be here in Houston September 22nd.
It's interesting how things turn around, because I remember my own emotions when the split up happened. I'm like, oh, how are you going to kick her out? She's like the star of the band. It's like, it turns out, you know, sometimes musical ability and what the person can bring to the table and what their ideas are, that matters more than star power. So good for them for releasing a record that's this freaking good. It's really good. I mean, it might end up being my favorite record of theirs, because my favorite up to this point has been their second album, I think, Solania. Mm-hmm. But this one, I've been listening to quite a bit, so
I have to check it out more.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. Before that was Devin Townsend,
right?
The least heaviest song we played tonight.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah. The most orchestrated song we've played.
Oh yeah,
in this episode, it's a good song. I was getting that one confused with Sprite. Okay. Sprite, I do not like. There's parts of it that are okay, but
I get that. Yeah,
yeah.
This one though.
Yeah.
Gorgeous singing. Yeah. Like, I'm still surprised that guy can sing like that.
Oh, my God, dude. He has a phenomenal voice. He really does. He can hit those notes, and he can do the heavy stuff. He can do the guttural stuff that he does, the mid-range that he does.
In my review for this album, I was writing about, I was kind of doing a little speculating before I talked about the music, about all the noise around this album, because there's a lot. At least you might have a better view of this than I will, but I feel like there's more buzz about Empath than there has been for any other Devin Townsend album to date.
Sure, I can see that.
More media coverage, more stories about it. A lot of it's because of what he's revealed about it, and he's revealed by himself how he had re-signed his back catalog for $150,000. He spent $170,000 of his own money to pay for this album, not counting what the record company's put in for promotion,
yep.
Which is you can add another couple, $10,000, $20,000 onto that.
Or more.
Or more. So it's like he has to make his money back on this record. And I know a lot of people have, because he's come out with that, have actually doubled down and made sure they bought it.
Like I did.
Like you did. So here's the question. What do you think's going to happen? Like, because, I mean, the chart positions that have come out are pretty impressive. Number 12 in Germany is a big freaking deal. Mm. Yeah, it's hard. Like, Illivati just hit number 11. And they're a big band.
And he's touring.
But
the problem with the tour, it's an acoustic tour. Opening up for, what, Avatar?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's only doing acoustic.
Is that in the States or in Europe?
There's some dates in the States, yeah.
Huh. He needs to take a full band and go do
fuck
this.
Yes, he does. I want to see. I would see this album in its entirety live.
I imagine there's a record you want to tour on for the rest of the year, just to, if you needed to just make the money back, you know.
You could see him tour on this record for a couple of years, 2 years,
yeah,
most. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know that the way he would have to tour, I mean, it might cost so much, and the margins might be so small, so he might actually rely on physical product. So I guess the thing where, you know, it's like if you really, you know, are worried about that, I think he's going to make his money back. What do you think?
Hopefully.
That's a lot of money. I know, you know, the economics of things might be a little boring, but that is an eyebrow-raising sum of money. Therion spent $100,000 in 2004 to do two albums at the same time, Sirius B and Lemuria.
Yeah.
And they toured forever to make that money back. But they did make it back. But that was Nuclear Blast giving them the money.
Sure. Like,
here's the budget. We trust you guys. This is his own money.
Yeah.
And I get why he's basically saying, like, this might be it. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think that there's a possibility that it could happen where it just bottoms out. Now, going to number 12 in Germany, I think that's a pretty good sign. That's the third biggest media market, music market in the world. You hit number 12 there, you're a pretty big deal in Europe, that means. You know, I mean, it took forever for Aventasia to hit number one. That's how hard it is and to go high in the charts in Germany. So, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I was a little shocked at that number when I read that article. I was like, I was really? Damn. And I know most of it went to that music video, too. The iCode music video for Spirits Will Collide.
Oh, yeah. I love the music video for Genesis.
Yeah, I think that one was filmed on the cheap.
But I love it. It's great. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
There's an Evertale video, too, where it's a cat in space.
Oh, really?
In a spaceship. You never seen this yet? It's pretty great.
Okay.
You got to see that. Right. There's t-shirts based on that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing that Devin knows how to do is merchandising. That's how you make your money.
Yeah, he could do a lot with the merchandise. They like the actual fact that the cover is just the logo with
minimalistic. Yeah,
yeah, very minimalistic boxing video of how you don't want to make people turn off when they just see this crazy. There's always Stradivarius' problem.
Yeah,
with both planets and dolphins and cities and everything.
Right. All right. So what's next on our playlist? We have Visigoths.
Yeah.
I don't know yet. I have a busy weekend with a lot of work.
Yeah, so tomorrow...
I've been to two for me right now.
Yeah, tomorrow is Hell's Heroes 2 in Houston.
I would like to go to the show.
Work in Brooklyn and stuff. Comment on this show and go, oh, that's a badass lineup. I wish that was happening here. It's like, you know, you guys Houston. So, yeah, yeah, it's going to be a pretty good bill. I mean, the bands I'm interested... I do want to see Power Trip because I do like that record that came out.
I saw them opening...
Were they fun live?
Yeah, they were great.
Okay, yeah.
They played it. There was a mic come out afterwards. So we've talked about it on the show previously. Yeah. You had Razor, Power Trip, Excite, Bat, Haunt, Graven, Wright, Oaths of Cruelty, who are our local band.
Yeah.
A lot of good bands.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Haunt's really good. Hellstar never.
So yeah, I mean, it's gonna be cool. I mean, I'm really there just to, for that record last year. So
you can buy a shirt.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And
we'll have your review on the next episode if I don't get to go. Get to, but let's get into a song first.
Yep.
What's next?
So on the first visit, I guess this is on the first Manila Road album. It's like the first song on the first Manila Road album, Necropolis. The vocals are a hard thing to get over. I mean, I get it, but that song was always and so when Visigoth covered it, I think their cover is great, and I think it's like, yeah, highlight a song that actually like talks about like what they like about them. And Necropolis to me is like their best song ever. So
it is pretty good.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the show, my friends. We just got finished listening to some Flesh God Apocalypse. They have a new album coming out called Veleno, and the track that we heard was called Sugar.
Is that really called Sugar?
It's really called Sugar.
Okay. That's strange.
Yeah, well, sure. The album drops May 24th, the full album. So, yeah. We just saw them recently in concert when they opened up for Hypocrisy and they played with Animus.
Yeah.
Great fucking show.
Yeah, it's weird. I figured Flesh God would have headlined that one and, you know, Hypocrisy would have been
I think it was more of a co-headlining.
Okay.
Because right. They both got to play a long set.
Okay, yeah.
Flesh God played just as long as Hypocrisy did, at least.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. They had the full setup. The sound mix wasn't great for me.
What venue was it?
Scout Bar.
Okay.
So we were also sitting on the side on those chairs.
Yeah. That screws it at Scout Bar. It does. You really have to be like in between the sound guy or you know and the this band. Yeah.
You couldn't really hear the keyboard very well, the piano guy, the piano man, as they say. And you couldn't really hear the girl that was doing all the operatic stuff, the mezzo soprano, whatever she was doing.
Yeah.
It was just – they put on a great show, though.
Yeah.
They're talented. I know there's been some changes in the band and all this kind of stuff recently, but
– Huh. So Hypocrisy is as good as ever?
Killed it.
Yeah.
Been like 9 or 10 years since they've been here.
It has been a long time. I mean, I swear I think there was a time there I saw them – at least once or possibly twice a year for like a good run of years. I've seen Hypocrisy, I think about 8 times at some point. I think it's got to be close to 8. It just seemed ridiculous because I remember because the reason why I think that is because I know that when I was like seeing Sabaton a ton back in the day, it was just like, well, I'm going to hit the Hypocrisy number with Sabaton. And I think I fell just short a little bit. So
what's the band you've seen the most in your life?
Well, I think it's Hypocrisy.
Really? Is it really? Yeah.
Which is why I wasn't like all, you know, gung-ho about going to see him.
It's one of my wife's favorite bands, actually.
Not counting Hypocrisy. I mean, Sabaton's up there. Maiden's up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere it's high between those two. I'm proud to say that Blind Guardian's getting up there. You know, Hanzi. Mm-hmm. If I count the Demons and Wizards show, I'm going to. And
okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that in a second. I think for me, it's probably either going to be it's Iron Maiden.
I thought you were going to say Anthrax.
Or it's a cross between Anthrax and Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
One of the very first shows that I ever saw was Anthrax opening up for Iron Maiden.
Right.
At Summit. I've seen Anthrax shit ton times.
Yeah.
Probably more than I probably can't even count it in two hands.
Yeah.
Maybe close to 20 times, maybe more.
That's got to be the number one then.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely more than Maiden. I've only seen Maiden like...
Yeah.
Maybe... double digit somewhere.
That's still impressive.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think with me and Maiden, it's like 6 times? 7? 6?
I don't think I've missed one Iron Maiden show since 1990.
God, man. That's crazy.
Even when they were touring... Was Blaze? Yeah, I saw
that's
that
right.
Show.
You told me the story about that. They played in that weird kind of converted grocery store venue or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the stage, it was a fucking weird venue. The stage was right when you came in. There was like the stage, and then like the whole rest of the club was to the side of the stage.
I can't.
It was. I think Fear Factory opened that show.
I can't fathom that. Just like it's crazy for you to have that experience because. You know, the last time we saw Maiden, we're in an arena where the Houston Rockets play. It's insane how that band's career arc just went in this like roller coaster of valley.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think those are the two bands I've seen the most in my life.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm trying to think of anybody else. I mean, with all the, you know, typical, I've seen Hypocrisy a lot. I've seen the Monkees a lot.
Yeah.
Which is proud for me. I've seen Devin not as many times as I want, maybe like 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
Including Strapping Young Lad, of course.
Yeah.
Who's that one band? Speaking of Demon the Wizards, we're going to get to that in a second. What's the one band you've always wanted to see live. You haven't yet.
Well, I mean, it really come down to two now, Therion and I would say Ed Guy.
Yeah.
You know, Aventasia, I mean, I guess you can count that as well, but Ed Guy more so.
I'm getting close to Ed Guy. I'm going to go see Aventasia.
Yeah, I don't know why
I'll have to get you a shirt from the show.
Aventasia is such an opulent thing, but for me, I first got into Ed Guy, and they did a U.S. tour, and they came so close to Texas.
Did they?
But they skipped right over the state, and they dared to call it a U.S. tour. And I just felt like that was such a missed opportunity, and that tour sucked so bad back then, too. It was them and Hammerfall, and it was just like a really poorly received tour.
That.
Bad year for them to come over here, and they never came back. And I just feel like, you guys could have swung again, you know? So I don't know. Ed Guy is a big one for me, yeah. I would love to hear songs like off Mandrake Live.
They've played Prague Power before, though, haven't they?
They played Prague Power, yeah, like once or twice or something, yeah.
Yeah. I need to go to Prague Power one year. If Arion plays, I'm there. No doubt about it.
It would have to be a special reason to go out all the way out there. And it's, you know, they were supposed to have Demons and Wizards like exclusive this year, I think.
Yeah.
And then this tour just got announced.
Let's talk about this tour.
Yeah.
I know you're
going to
go.
I am going. I'm making the drive to Dallas.
I'm super fucking bummed I can't go.
Yeah, it's bad timing.
I will be in the middle of the fucking ocean somewhere. Not... They should have contacted me before they planned their date.
No phone calls, no emails?
No phone calls. I mean, Hansi has my number. All he had to do was call him and John. I'm so upset that I'm going to miss this show. I even looked at rebooking our trip around it.
Right, yeah.
But it's the money we would lose to have to pay to do it. It's just overwhelming.
Yeah.
Fuck. And this is – it's my wife's – it's our 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
Can't, even though she would love to do
right.
Guardian, you know, I almost call them Guardians. I don't know. I can't do it.
I don't think this will be the only opportunity you'll have, though.
I don't know.
I know that they're billing it like that on social media, but it's not a guarantee, you know?
Maybe. You might be right.
Yeah.
But it's going to suck if it is.
Well,
that everybody that I know is going to get to go to see Demon of the Wizards, and I won't.
I mean,
everybody.
Know, I have a big show regret, too. It was not going to Prague Power in 2005 with my buddy Matt Roy. He drove over there.
Yeah.
And I skipped it because of some dumb schedule reason. I should have just gone because that year it was Therion and freaking Ed Guy playing at Prague Power.
Oh, man.
And he, Matt, went there and, in Orphanland.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. He went there,
Orphanland, though,
met everyone, got pictures with everyone. I saw all the pictures, and he was like, he was just like, I wish you were there. It was just like, that show was meant for you. I was like, yeah, I'm going to regret that for the rest of my life. I fucked up. I really fucked up.
I'm going to make a deal with you. I'm going to get you an Aventasia t-shirt. You give me a Demon of the Wither shirt.
Deal.
All right. We'll do that. I was there. I was at the show. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So what's next? Speaking of Demon of the Wither.
Yeah.
Let's talk about John Schaefer's Purgatory.
Yeah. This one came out a couple months ago, right?
Yeah.
I listened to it when it came out, and I was just sort of nonplussed about it. Just like, all right, that's interesting.
It's a pre-Iced Earth band.
Yeah.
This EP, the Purgatory EP.
Purgatory was the band he was in Florida before Iced Earth. Yeah.
Right.
And these are like the guys, I think, who were in that.
That's correct.
That project, yeah.
Yes. I mean, Iced Earth had that album, like the sort of greatest hits, like rarity album called Days of Purgatory.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is they got back together and they re-recorded these old songs.
Yeah.
That they had from back in the day.
I mean, it was a good listen. I mean, they're not spectacular songs. They were, you know, there's like pretty typical songwriting that you'd hear from a band just trying out. Just getting its first steps out there.
Vocalist reminds me of James Rivera. He can hit some really fucking high notes.
Yeah.
Speaking of, real quick, before we get into this, I went a couple weeks ago to the Bruce Corbett tribute show.
Yeah.
The benefit show. I got there late because I had a work meeting all day. I didn't get there till about 8-ish. And Only saw about three or four bands. I got to see Sanctus Bellum. James Rivera headlined, and they ran out of time. So he was supposed to do the whole metal extravaganza where he played songs from all his different career, but they wound up only playing like one song from Killing Machine and then like an Accept cover, and then the rest was like all Hellstar shit, because it was sort of cool though. It was like, and the band was awesome, but that's not the main reason I was there. I was there to go support to give money to the family of Bruce Corbett, yeah. Jenna Corbett. She was there. They had a silent auction that was being run. I donated some stuff to that. I bought a t-shirt, bought some stuff. I just wanted to give as much as I could, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So it was a good show. It was fun.
This was at Rudyard's, right?
This is at Rudyard's, yeah. Which is a smaller little club, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
If you've been to Rudyard's, I know they have food in there and everything, but there's a gas station, a convenience store right next door.
Yeah.
That has this place called Al's Mediterranean Food. Phenomenal stuff.
It's such a tiny little place. I wonder how they're cooking back there. Anyway.
No, it's pretty big back there. I got the menu right here.
Was it well attended?
No.
No?
There was another benefit show going on the same night for Sweet Nightmares.
Oh, man.
They're both the same night.
Both demanding of the local scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
I know. It's bad timing.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing more than that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I bought the t-shirt. I bought this Gwar package. It was sort of cool. I had like a painting and then like some pins and stuff.
Huh.
I got this cool button. It's a pin, like a close-in pin for my jacket. It's it's Odorous's outfit, but it's Dave Brocky's face.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Let's get into Purgatory. From John Schaefer. I need to pick this up on vinyl or something. I think it'd be cool.
Really? You like it that much? If you're going to pick anything Schaefer weighted up on vinyl, get that Night of the Storm Rider.
The re-release?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, I'll be doing some classic vinyl shopping in California soon.
So yeah.
I'll be on the lookout. So let's check out In Jason's Mind, which is about some serial killer bad guy named Jason.
Yeah.
I don't know where they got that from.
Yeah, they would dress up as these characters in those early shows back then they would play.
That's pretty funny.
They would like have fake blood capsules and everything and like dress up as whoever character and come out and attack the crowd or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean the songs that they have, songs like Dracula. This is right. All precursor to horror shows.
Right. Came out, yeah.
You know what I
yeah.
mean? All right, so let's get into some John Schaefer's Purgatory. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. vision is blurred, his mind's obscured. From behind the tree, underneath our bed, he's looking for you. He'll cut off your head. Gotcha.
Welcome back to MSRcast 219. And little Death Angel there with Humanicide.
That was fucking thrash-tastic, man.
That was thrash-tastic. And I love that last album they put out, which was, like, I thought, like, their most creative thing, you know, taking different elements, melodic elements, kind of forming different types of songs with different tempos and stuff not that you're not used to from Death Angel. This was more like straight ahead and you know, thrash-tastic, but like that little bit in the beginning was, it did remind me of the last record. So I'm interested to see what the rest of this is going to sound like.
The new album, well, this is the title track. It's called Humanicide. Album comes out May 31st through Nuclear Blast.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Awesome fucking drummer, that Will Carroll.
Yeah.
He's phenomenal, dude.
Yeah.
It's great. I've been a huge fan of Death Angel. One of my top 10 albums of all time is Act 3. There's just something about that album fucking love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to listen to them a lot, like in my formative thrash years. Like Megadeth and Death Angel were like my advances away from just Metallica and stuff. Like, oh, wow, you know? And then came Creator after that, actually. So
I didn't get into Creator till very late.
Yeah,
like a couple years ago.
Like, it was like the wrong time to get into Creator because like the albums they were putting out in the mid 90s were strange.
I remember trying to get into Indorama. I'm like, okay,
but you know, in retrospect, we're always talking about doing that 90s thrash episode, which we will get to one day. We're gonna work on it when things are less chaotic, but in retrospect, I bet some of that stuff is really good. And we're just going to have to check and see, actually do some homework and stuff. Before that was John Schaefer's Purgatory. And, you know, I guess it's cool. Those kind of things, like he did that thing a couple years ago called Sons of Liberty.
Right.
And it struck me as just kind of a Schaefer vanity project. And this one kind of sounds like that. It seems like along the same lines.
Well, I mean, these songs are older, though.
Yeah, I get the historical thing.
They're pre-Iced Earth.
I think I would have rather just him found the demo, done a good job of like restoring it, and just released that by itself with like the original art or something. Yeah, instead of a re-recording. I know. I think re-recording, just in general, I'm against in principle because I just
Iced Earth has been known to do that many times.
I know, and I think that he's beaten it to death. And you know, when you go back and listen to Days of Purgatory, man, the bass is so terrible on that recording; it's almost unlistenable. I don't know if they screwed it up when they uploaded it to Spotify or whatever.
Which one? I'm sorry.
Days of Purgatory.
Oh.
Because I don't remember I had to dig out my old CD version. I don't remember it sounding that bad. It was like, oh, I'll listen to Days of Purgatory and check out some of these. I haven't heard that compilation in a long time. Awful. It sounded awful. And really? I was just like, wow, was I blind to this? Was I deaf to this terrible bass on this?
I'll have to check that out now.
It's atrocious. It's like annoyingly atrocious.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like And Justice for All type bad or?
No, worse, because it's the bass is like put too high in the mix. Oh. So it's just like it's almost like listening to EDM or something. Like it's like you're listening to Iced Earth and then someone in the next room is listening to EDM. and I like Barlow's vocals, like on, you know, Travel and Stygian and stuff like that. So I'm like, I wanted to hear that. And I just went back and listened to
that. I don't remember the album, the CDs being that way, but
I don't know if they messed up or something when they put them on Spotify, but I even asked some people on like the Discord, and I'm like, does this sound right to you? And no one could tell. So maybe it's just me. I don't know.
I'm gonna have to listen to it and see if I can tell.
Yeah.
All right. Well, besides that, we're gonna get into a band that was recommended to us by one of our fans on Twitter. But before that, let's talk about the show we just saw.
Yeah.
Let's stop beating around the bush.
Yeah.
You stayed for the whole show, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did not.
Children of Bodom, Swallow the Sun, and Wolfheart.
And
this past Saturday,
there's
on
one other band
April
6th. Too, right?
Fragmentium, yeah.
They're okay.
They were cool.
They weren't bad.
It was like kind of proggy stuff.
Mellow Death.
Yeah, proggy kind of Mellow Death stuff. I hadn't really heard of them before.
It was weird. There was like no merch from them at all.
Yeah. I don't know what the deal was with that. Rough night for that show because this venue is literally a block over from where the Astros play. And they were having their second home game of the season there. And there was a block party literally right next to the venue. And
that, the block party was also for the venue is right in front of the soccer stadium, too.
Yeah, it's a very busy, active area.
It's good for me because it's about a block and a half walking distance from my office. So I can park my car and just walk over, which is what I did.
I got really lucky getting the parking spot right behind the venue.
Oh, did you?
I mean, I just thought I don't know. Astros game parking lots will be full and prices will be jacked up. And I got lucky. So, but the show suffered, I think, as a result. The attendance was really kind of minimal, I think, for what they would expect for a Saturday night gig like that. It was half full, and Warehouse Live is a venue that could probably fit 1,000 people in there.
Pretty cavernous. Especially audio wise, too.
But,
I hate the audio there, man.
But to their credit, they got Swallow the Sun right as it went on.
Yeah.
The first song, the vocals were a little low. Second song, it got a little bit better, and then it got better. And then at the end, they nailed it. I thought Children of Bodom sounded a little bit muddled at first, but they got better too. So I think it's just one of those things where it's just you have to deal with that going there. You're going to have growing pains in sound. I thought Wolfheart were fun. I liked them better at BFE.
I agree on that one.
A smaller venue. It was a more unique experience being in a dingy, dirty place like that compared to this place. And I don't know. I even liked their set list a little bit better at BFE too. Just more intense. But yeah, it was fun to see them again. Houston guitarist touring with them.
Joseph Marduk.
Yeah, that was cool. That was a nice little thing.
From Donna Disillusion.
Yeah, Donna Disillusion, yeah.
I've already reached out to him. As soon as the tour is over, he's a touring guitar player for Wolfheart right now.
Right.
So when the tour is over, we're going to get him to come on the show, talk about his touring experience, talk about his band, all that good stuff.
Yeah, and I'm not sure about the bassist was another guy from a band. I mean, he was a guy from North Carolina. Mm. And the last time when Wolfheart played, they had the other Juha from Swallow the Sun on guitar and another bassist. I'm not sure if the drummer was the same. I couldn't tell. But I guess this is how Wolfheart's getting out there because, you have one guy from Finland, maybe another guy, but then you're going to tour in the United States just to have a different band. It's like the Paul Di'Anno method.
Yeah. Or James Rivera does that too. He'll have different bands in different cities and states and stuff. It's funny, this dude came up to the bass player that was touring with Wolfheart. He was standing next to us during Swallow the Sun, and he was like, Oh, he started talking about, I loved you, man, blah, blah, blah. Can you sign all my stuff? And he's like, I weren't on these, right? He's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. It was weird.
Yeah.
All right. I guess people don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They see the guy in the band. I want to get his autograph.
Right, yeah.
They don't realize he's not in the band.
Right.
He's just a paid touring guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I fucking love Wolfheart. I didn't buy a shirt. I bought a shirt the last show. So I bought the 3 CDs that they had available. They're all digipacks.
Right.
So there's one more CD I need to complete my collection already.
Nice.
Which is good. I might have to order that sometime soon.
What do you think of their gig?
Sound a little muddled, but that's the venue. I mean, we saw Blind Guardian there before and it was the same.
Yeah.
It's just not my favorite place for a band.
No, I would rather be at the Scout Bar any day. I mean,
better sound for sure.
I know that technically Warehouse is supposed to have a better sound than the Scout Bar. And if you do stand in the wrong place at Scout Bar, it is pretty bad. It can be pretty bad.
Like where I was standing last time.
But I'm sure everyone listening to the show has their own venue in their own town that they just, for some reason, they like going to see shows there. Whether it's convenience or ease of getting to or whatever it is, the bar is better or whatever.
Yeah.
I have my reasons for liking Scout Bar. They probably don't make a lot of sense because that venue is way out the hell in Clear Lake.
What's your reason? I have my own reasons.
It's easy to get to, even though it's far.
Yeah.
It's an easy drive and it's easy to park at. It's not stressful at all. It's free parking, easy, a lot of parking. And I just feel at home there. It's comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I just, I've seen so many shows there. It's just kind of like my metal home.
I agree on all of those points.
Yeah.
I'm happy because that was the venue that let us do the benefit show for Bill Bates when he passed away.
That was cool. Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't charge us anything.
That's amazing.
So they just opened up the doors for us, which was great.
Yeah.
So I support them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I mean, good show. Swallow Sun were fucking phenomenal.
They were, oh, well, that's the big story is we got to find, I got to, I've seen Swallow the Sun before. I went once before with Juha on guitar. The, you know, Juha, the songwriter Juha.
Right.
Juha Ravio. And it, to see him, this is the first time I've seen him since all this stuff has happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
That was incredible. To see him performing these songs on this new album and everything else they performed. And this is like him going through therapy on stage. Yeah. And I'm just we happen to be on the right side of the stage and he pops out on the right side of the stage. And so I'm like right in front of the guy. I'm pretty much right in front of the guy watching him the entire time.
Hoodie up, everything.
And
over his head.
He's a very like emotional performer on stage. And this is not how I remembered seeing them back in 2008, where they were like, remember in the, I don't know if you were at that show, but they were all dressed in like tucked in like white shirts and
which show
ties.
Was that?
It was Swallow the Sun, Moon Sorrow and Fintroll.
I was not at that show. I saw them with Orphanland, I believe.
Okay.
And
I missed that one.
There was a Fitzgerald.
Yeah, but when I saw them at that show, they were all wearing like ties and different. And they had a different energy on stage.
Yeah,
the band has changed a lot since then, just in think internally and everything, and their songwriting focus and everything. And to see them now, they're entirely different. It's very in like a very introspective type thing. But he was a captivating guy to watch on stage.
I bought a hoodie from them.
Oh yeah, you went. Yeah. Oh, you bought the hoodie.
I bought the hoodie. Finally.
I bought the shirt.
I have a shirt from last time. So I was I'm going to get the hoodie this time.
Yeah.
It was like, if you think about it, it was only like a $17 difference to buy the hoodie than the shirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hoodies, buying them at shows, you can save a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a heavy ass hoodie too. I'm not going to be able to wear it for a while.
Yeah.
Especially down here in Texas.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Let's get into the song.
Yep.
We have a couple more songs to play this evening. This is the next band we're going to play is called North Tail. It was recommended by one of our listeners on Twitter.
Oh yeah, Mr. Christian Renner.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I mean, we will, if you recommend something to us, we will play it.
Yeah, we're paying attention. We got you.
We found out. What do you know about these guys?
That Bill Hudson's in the band, and what? Bill Hudson's in every other band.
But to say, what band is he not in?
The guys at the Power Metal Discord have been talking these guys up a lot. In fact, shout out to Larry Biscuit, who was talking to me about them the other day. I think he's heard the entire album, and he's very enthusiastic about it. So this is the only thing I've heard from them.
They signed to Nuclear Blast now, right?
I mean, this might be a big deal in the coming months or so. So
we're on the forefront.
We're on the forefront of this one.
Yeah.
You know, which I usually never am. But, you meet some people who really are plugged into, like, there's this band called Paladin that I'm hearing a ton of buzz about. They just have two demos out, but they have an album coming out in like 2 months. And they're apparently like the band that's being buzzed about in Atlanta right now, kind of like classic heavy metal type stuff. So we'll probably be playing them on the show in the next couple months. Also, this band from Canada, Calgary, called Riot City, whose song I heard today, really good.
Yeah.
So we're probably gonna be playing them in the future. So check those guys out. I think
they're on the forefront.
Their single's on Spotify right now. Riot City. It's really good. It's just like classic kind of Judas Priest-y heavy metal type stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
So let's get into North Tail. This is very, very over the top, power metal-y, keyboard heavy goodness.
Yep.
Sugary sweet goodness.
Yeah.
Let's check it out. The track is called Shape Your Reality.
Your true self, can you tell me?
Welcome back, my friends, to MSRcast episode number 219. So we just got finished listening to, what was the name of that band? Norsetail.
Norsetail.
Yeah. That's some cheesy power metal goodness, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the album.
It's like a cheesy quesadilla that just tastes delicious.
There's a lot of that going around. I mean, the new Gory Hammer drop today, that's
we saw the video for that.
Hey, if you like the new Gory Hammer single and you hate Hammerfall, something you need to reevaluate.
That's right.
Your power metal, because that song is ripping off early Hammerfall to an alarming degree,
and especially the video too.
Yeah. I gotta say, I didn't think that video looked that bad. I thought it was pretty good for, like, you know, the CGI like type of video.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, that band is utterly silly, and I can't decide whether I like it or just am deeply ashamed.
Well, when your singer is flying around like Superman,
yeah,
yeah,
it was a funny song.
It's fine,
and that's sometimes the problem with Glory Hammer. It's too funny.
Yeah. Norsetail, I think it's gonna hit pretty hard in the scene.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. I don't know. I liked it.
Yeah.
Was there another show that we needed to talk about? I think we covered everything, didn't we?
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I can think of, is the, we already talked about the Elevati thing coming up.
We talked about Elevati. Yeah. Yeah.
It's gonna be good. I mean, a good year for shows.
I hope so, man.
Just slow down with the coming out at once.
I know.
I just need everyone. Yeah,
I need bands to contact me
yeah.
before they go on tour, so I know I can. So they, yeah. they know where to schedule the shows around.
June is yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
August. The end of August is no good for
no
me.
No August.
Come on, guys. What are you doing? We're going to get into our last song of the evening, which was recommended to us by a friend of the show.
Yep.
Friend that we both know personally.
Mm-hmm.
Who is a guy named Matt, and he's sort of a
maniac.
He's a maniac. He has made it his life's work right now to know every new fucking band every week that's come out.
Yeah. Matt, he's a kind of a late bloomer metal fan, and he's doing his best to redress all those years where he was. I don't know what he was listening to. Yeah.
Not good metal. That's for sure.
Not good stuff. Yeah.
So yeah, the band he's brought to our attention is called Xaon, X-A-O-N. They are symphonic death metal from Switzerland. They bring a little bit different elements sometimes into it. There's a little bit of, I don't want to say metalcore, but.
Well, see, Matt likes Flesh God Apocalypse.
He
loves them. And I can hear a little bit of that in this song.
Yeah. A little bit of clean vocals in here. Yeah. A little bit of some weird guitar riffing you would not expect from a symphonic metal band.
Yeah.
Beginning of the song, you're just like, what is happening? And then it changes to a total pace, and you're like, oh, okay, I know what's going on
now.
Yeah. Check out their new album. It's called Solipsis. And the song that we're going to play is called Solipsis. But thanks again for tuning in to episode number 219 of MSRcast. Of course, you can find us all over the social medias at MSRcast and our sister show at Metal Geeks on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those places. You can find us on iTunes, search for MSRcast or Metal Geeks. We're on the same feed. Leave us a review there, subscribe, let all your friends know about us, all over the social medias. Find us on Spotify and Stitcher and really any place you would get your favorite podcast at. That's where we're at.
Yep.
And I'm just thinking about it. This is 2019. In a few months, I've been doing this show for almost 15 years.
Wow.
For 15 years, yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
We need to do more episodes then.
Yes. Yes, we will.
We should be way higher than episode 219, right?
We should, yeah.
Yeah.
We've been pretty good this year so far. No major lapses. We were pretty snappy.
That's right.
We'll try to be the more consistent.
So where can people find you?
At the Metal Pigeon, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and themetalpigeon.com.
You know, there's one thing I did want to talk to you about. It's an article you recently wrote.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to get into it real quick?
I wasn't going to bring it up, but if, you know.
We don't have to talk about it too much, but go to themetalpigeon.com. Sean here wrote a great article about strife in the metal scene, basically. It's specifically about the band Horna. I even got pulled into this whole situation, which I'm not involved with any of that bullshit, anything. But I don't want to spoil too much of what you wrote, but we don't support, number one, we don't support, how do I say this?
Yeah, I mean,
this is hard right here.
To put it in a nutshell, this band Horna, who we don't care about, you know, you don't listen to them, I don't listen to them, we don't care about them. They played a show here, and this show would have been in a small venue called the White Swan that holds like what, 20 people, 30 people. It's really tiny venue.
Not that small.
But you know what I mean. It's a hole, and it would have gone largely unnoticed, and it got kind of singled out by all these coastal Antifa chapters who made it a point to try to stir up a protest in Houston. And I just basically argued that, you know, we knew some people who were in bands that were opening the show. And I basically just kind of tried to make the point that, hey, there's not really a problem in Houston with, you know, like neo-Nazis or whatever. And
there have been before. I've seen him in shows and stuff like that. But
I mean, I guess I would just say from my experience, I have never experienced personally racism at a metal show.
Yeah.
And so
metal shows in Houston tend to be very largely open.
Yeah. Well, it's multicultural.
Yeah. Well, our city is.
Yeah. It's largely a reflection of Houston. And so I thought that it was basically, I was just trying to make a point of saying that, like, I think sometimes boycotting these shows the way Antifa does is just shining more of a spotlight on them.
Yeah.
And that maybe it's the wrong way to go. And I think,
we're not taking sides, because there's been no proof, right, or non-proof of this band having any kind of Nazi ties or neo-Nazism or anything. Nobody, there's no proof anywhere.
Yeah. I mean,
it's just blames, you know, him pointing the finger.
Yeah. And I guess the thing I took exception with was that anyone who was talking, who was trying to be more like, whoa, wait a second, what's going on, got pulled into the side of, oh, well, you're supporting this, you're a sympathizer,
by a local, let's say quote unquote journalist.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a friend of ours, you know, friend of the show.
Yeah. We're not going to say many names here. Yeah. You can read the article.
Yeah.
I mean, he got called into it, and it was really a case of defamation of character.
Yeah. And the publication apologized, and that
they did a retraction.
And yeah, that's my point, is that there's so much finger pointing going on, and no one's taking the time to actually ask questions. We're just blaming each other. And I got
pulled into it because I've been friends with the guy who promoted the show for 20 something years.
Right.
He used to write for the magazine, but he hasn't done anything for me in years.
Right. Yeah. And we know him personally, and we know he's a good guy.
Exactly.
And you know, it's just like, you know, you haven't made a secret of this, that you're Jewish.
I am.
And my skin color is not white. I'm not Caucasian. So
wait a minute, I just want
to make a point that this perspective is coming from two guys here who would really have a problem if someone we knew was a neo-Nazi.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we'd have a fucking serious problem.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. So I think everyone just needs to, I know even on tonight on Metal Twitter, there's stuff like this. In fact, I just got kind of semi-called out in an article that's on a major publication. So everyone just needs to freaking calm down and just be a little bit more rational about how we're going to – there, because if there is a problem, I know this thing happened in Louisiana where this idiot burned down some churches, the son of a cop. But, you know, Louisiana's
– and they're blaming it. He's a Varg fan.
He's a Varg fan, so they're blaming black metal. And it's just like, if there is some sort of problem in black metal, I don't think that just, you know, going about it and the way we're going about it is going to solve anything. That's just going to make it worse. So we just need to – everyone just needs to reevaluate the way they're doing it. And that's why I'm trying to argue. I'm not trying to get into a fight with Antifa. I don't have a problem with Antifa, but apparently they have a problem with me having a problem with their methods. So, yeah. I think I got banned by like every Antifa chapter, or blocked on Twitter by every Antifa thing.
All I got to tell you is racism is bad.
Okay? Yeah, racism is bad. We don't want it in metal. But my experience as a person of color going to metal shows in Houston, I've never had anyone tell me I didn't belong there because of the color of my skin. Because when you go to a metal show in Houston, people are looking at your T-shirt. They're not looking at your face.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they're like, oh, Sabotage? That's cool.
Yeah.
Not like, what are you doing here? You know? No, none of that stuff.
It might be different in other cities.
Maybe it is. But I don't know. I'm not sticking my nose into New York's business. So New York should stay out of Houston's business. That's my point, basically.
So. It's a very well written article, just like all your articles are.
I hated having to write it. It felt like shitty having to write it, but
I think it needed to be done.
Yeah, I'm glad I did it. I don't regret it. So
no regrets.
No regrets.
All right, very cool.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to regret playing this band right here. This is, of course, we mentioned before, the band Zaon. I think I'm saying it correctly.
Yeah, I think
Xaon Zaon.
Yeah.
So check it out. This is called Solipsis from the album Solipsis. And as always, we will see you on the next episode. And there's one last thing we got to say.
You got to keep it metal.
Keep it metal, indeed.
Yep.
episodes. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.